Johnny, I hardly knew you, and RMU Volleyball, we hardly knew you this year. We saw some flashes and some glimpse of hope, but unfortunately, Robert Morris is mathematically eliminated from the Northeast Conference Volleyball Tournament. Welcome to the Dig, episode 6. Here I am, Spencer Witt, alongside of me, Sam Anthony, and Robert Morris this past weekend did what they needed to do, but they didn't get enough help. They got a lot, but they didn't get enough.
Oh, Spencer, you know, Friday comes and Robert Morris gets the win and Sacred Heart loses, and it was a 5-set loss. So, you know, you're sitting there in your head and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, the volleyball gods are on Robert Morris's side. They're making some things happen because Sacred Heart had a big comeback win against the Pioneers.
They did.
And then I turn on the Central Connecticut Sacred Heart game and I'm like, all right, let's see what's going to happen here. This is, you know, a matchup that Sacred Heart can drop. And they swept the Blue Devils. And yeah, that's all there is to it. They're done.
So, yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier. Robert Morris, they had to win. They won 3 sets to none against St. Francis. Actually, that game, technically, the winner of that game would stay alive and the loser would have been eliminated. And then they needed help from several different teams. St. Francis, Brooklyn is right ahead of them. They needed them to lose at least 2 of their 3 games remaining. They did lose to LAU Brooklyn, so that helped a little bit for Robert Morris. And then Sacred Heart had to lose. They lost to Bryant, like you had mentioned. But on Saturday, they defeated CCSU. That was their senior night, too. And they got themselves in the Northeast Conference Tournament. So all 4 teams are a lock for the tournament. And not exactly sure if the standings are. Robert Morris might be able to spoil what rank they are, I think. Maybe for Sacred Heart this upcoming weekend. But that's all I know.
And you know what? So the thing for me, Spencer, is like reflecting on this season and the fact that I think Robert Morris will win out. I think that they will win out this season, and I think what that's going to do is just make Robert Morris volleyball fans increasingly disappointed with the way the season turned out, because that right there is the only glimmer you're going to get of what could have been for Robert Morris volleyball. Because again, they beat LIU Brooklyn, the best team in my opinion by far in the NEC.
It's crazy to think that LAU Brooklyn, potentially the end of their season, their only loss in Northeast Conference play, even if they win the tournament, could be against lowly sixth out of 8 team Robert Morris.
And, I mean, yeah, right now, best case, Robert Morris can finish 5th, yeah. Which to me also is just the nail in the coffin of how disappointing this season is. You're sitting there potentially with a 6-8 record on the outside looking in, a team that is significantly better in terms of the overall talent on that team than a 6-8 record. And I know we're not at predictions yet, but you can hold me to this take right now, Spencer. They're going to beat Sacred Heart this upcoming weekend and solidify that they're better than that team that got the 4 spot. And the fact that they are going to be going to the postseason and say, hey, you know, we won against 2 of those teams, and then, you know, against Bryant and Central Connecticut, those also could have had 2 potential wins there as well. Besides, I think Central Connecticut, they never really had a shot against them this season.
No, they didn't.
But
I think they lost in all 6 straight sets against CCSU.
Just, it is. It's confusing to me.
Actually, they took 1 set, so 6 out of 7.
Yeah, 6 out of 7 sets went to Central Connecticut. I mean, they have a chance to end on a 4-game winning streak, and it just doesn't matter. And you look at some of these losses, you know, St. Francis Brooklyn losing in 5 sets, Bryant losing in 5 sets. You know, it's ironic because they went into this conference play as the Cardiac Colonials.
Yeah.
And they did not win a single 5-set match in conference play so far. They lost all of them. If they went to 5, they lost them. And imagine, just imagine, because they played in 3 5-set matchups in conference play. Imagine if they had just won 1 of those.
Yeah, I mean, a couple weeks ago, on the 20th, they played Bryant, and the 5th set was 18-16. So that even went into extra volleyball there. if a point goes their way, a serve hits into the net, something like that, you know. That's the thing about volleyball, though, is every single point matters, but you don't look at it like that until you get down to the nitty-gritty at the end of those sets, and
exactly.
Every single point is huge.
And in terms of, you know, what I guess I would consider a sophomore slump for a lot of those freshmen that were really great last year, I would consider it a sophomore slump. As great as Emma Granger was at points, it was flashes. And what came from that was the fact that every single team in the NEC was scouting Emma Granger.
Yeah.
They knew what to expect. Some teams were able to stop her, some weren't. I know you sat down with her last Thursday.
I did.
On Colonial Sports Center. And one of the things she said was that, you know, if she couldn't contribute offensively, she wants to contribute more defensively. And what you saw was in the games where she wasn't contributing offensively, down the stretch here, she was contributing defensively, and that's why they would win games.
She had 9 blocks against LAU Brooklyn.
I mean, that's huge. It's ridiculous. I mean, for her size, that's great. That's exactly what they want from a player like Emma Granger, because what that does is it's harder to scout Emma Granger because it makes her more dynamic. You're not just dealing with her from an offensive perspective. Now she becomes a defensive obstacle too. That, I think, is one of the biggest takeaways you have to take from this year, is saying, hey, we need more of these players. And as great as the overall talent is, you need more players that are more overall talented, because, again, that just makes it so if you're Dale Starr, the switches you make have more of a purpose.
Yeah.
And you're not just bringing in players to do certain things. Like, it kind of felt like at points, because Granger was struggling offensively and defensively, she was in there to serve. They would put her in to serve, and at times it would just be service error by Granger and you see her out of the game. And, I mean, it's just, you know, from players like that, you want more, I think.
Well, we talked about the flashes from Emma Granger. Just going back at this game for Robert Morris, they took on St. Francis on Friday. They won 3-0, 25-21, 25-22, and 25-20. They looked like the best team throughout that match. That was something that I think that, for the most part, St. Francis, they went back and forth a lot. St. Francis took the lead. Robert Morris took the lead. But at the end of the day, Robert Morris, especially at the end of those sets, they went on 4-point runs, 5-point runs at the end of it, and then they finally were able to finish St. Francis off. And we talked about the flashes from Emma Granger. She led in 3 different categories for Robert Morris, 12 kills. Taylor Lord had 8. Maria Alfano was 7. Emma Granger had 6 aces. She had 4 in a row at one point, which was insane.
Wow.
Yeah, St. Francis couldn't pass her up at all. It was, her serves were really on point that night. I think she only had like maybe 1 or 2 service errors, and that was after the 4-point stretch. And like, she wasn't even mad about it. She was just laughing it off because,
yeah,
like, you know, you get 4 points right there.
Yeah, you'll take that every single time. And I'll tell you, I mean, again, I'm going to keep saying it, you know, those flashes of greatness from her. We, you know, as much as I can sit here and, you know, be critical of Emma Granger, she is only a sophomore.
Yeah.
And playing at a level that, I mean, again, she was NEC Rookie of the Year last year. She had the best year out of any rookie within the Northeast Conference. And for the level of competition that she's playing at, she is above that by far, in my opinion. So the big thing is you're right. You see these flashes, and as she gets to her junior and her senior year, I think the expectations have to continue to remain large for her because of the fact that more time on the court, more time working on those things. Because, again, to me, it was still, as much as it was like, as I use the term sophomore slump, she still had a good year. I won't say a great year, because a great year would have been she came out and was, you know, in the conversation for best player in the NEC. Because that's just how talented she is, and she has the height to be the best player in the Northeast Conference. So you're sitting here and you're going, all right, what you expect from her junior year is then to take this to just a whole nother level.
So I would argue, and I mean, we still have 2 games left. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this a little more. I'd argue it's either her or Taylor Lord that were probably the top players,
yes,
for Robert Morris this year.
And you know what? I just don't think it's even a debate, because in terms of the players that you saw consistently at the top of the leaderboard, it was Taylor Lord and it was Emma Granger.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, to me, yes, by far those were the best players. But you do, you know, if we're reflecting on the year, like I think we are, and I know there's 2 years or 2 games left.
Yeah.
Not 2 years. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
2 years left for her.
2 years left for her. Not for us. We're out of here.
Yeah, we are gone soon.
Unless someone wants to, like, hire us or give us a job to stay here. I'll stay here.
If you'd like to, let us know.
Yeah. You know where to find us.
Yeah. Just walk up the stairs of Patrick Henry.
Yeah. And, you know, just knock on the glass door. It says don't tap on it, but go ahead. If you're going to give us a job. But, yeah. To me, there were a lot of players that contributed more than I thought they would contribute. Again, I'm a big Whitney Brown fan. Yeah. I feel like she's really stepped up to fill a role that was left by some seniors last year. And that's huge. You know, look for her to continue to contribute. Players like Alyssa Hudak, players like Allison Londot, that maybe, you know, those flashes of greatness were a little bit more far in between. Players like Sarjanovic, but they were there.
Yeah.
And so the understanding is like, look, we have these players that are all capable of doing this. Let's make sure that we're getting the most out of all of them so that, again, when someone's having a bad game, you know, there's always someone who stepped up. And I think that was the biggest thing, is I feel like there were some games that by the time you kind of found someone to fill that void of whoever was struggling, it was too late. And that's when you would see, you know, these down by two sets, cardiac Colonials coming back. But then you got to conference play, and NEC plays just so much different because they've seen everything before. They've scouted you. They know what they're looking at. So when you go down 2-0, it's a lot harder to come back from that than, let's say, a non-conference team that hasn't seen you before, and you can maybe throw some things that they're not expecting.
And I think we were talking, going back real quick, to Emma Granger. She had mentioned in the interview that this past week that she can't do it offensively. She'd like to do it defensively. She had 6 blocks again in this game. She led the team in blocks.
Wow.
It was very impressive. And like I said, I mean, I want to give St. Francis credit where credit's due. They hung in with RMU a lot, but the Colonials just looked like the better team throughout that match.
100%. And to me, it's like night and day from the first time they played the Red Flash. Because when they played St. Francis the first time, it just looked like no matter what they did, the Red Flash were in control. And it was, to me, one of the most shocking things I've ever watched, in the sense that it was a game that I was pretty confident Robert Morris would win, that they were much better than St. Francis. St. Francis went to that game with 1 win total coming out of non-conference play.
Yeah.
And still ending the year with just 4 total wins right now. I know there's 2 more games left to play, but
That's a team, just real quick, that's a team they have a new coach, or newer second-year coach. They're going to really try and get themselves. They were at the bottom of the conference last year, so it's good to see improvements for them a little bit.
Exactly. It's a transition.
Yeah.
You know, as we know, as well as anyone at Robert Morris here, I'm specifically referencing the football team.
Yeah.
It takes time for a transition and for new coaches to come in. But to me, that's also more of a reason why it should, you know, theoretically be an easy win. And it was those must wins and those, you know, should wins that Robert Morris didn't have. They would go into these games, and I mean, come on, you can probably roll back the tape on any of these previous podcasts where we're like, oh yeah, you know, St. Francis Brooklyn, oh, that's a win, oh my goodness. Yeah. And then, you know, Robert Morris loses, and you know, you sit there and you look at LIU Brooklyn and you're like, oh man, like, I really would like Robert Morris to win, but I don't think they can do it. And I'm confused, Spencer.
You got me too. I don't know what to say either. I mean, I like to think that we're more or less somewhat experts in this, but
yeah, I'd like to think we're pretty knowledgeable.
Even we're a little confused, but you know, and that's what happened. I think the big thing, just going back, Robert Morris started doing, they changed their setters a lot.
Yeah,
so Wendy Brown
did
started at the
that.
Beginning of the year. She played a lot. She struggled a couple times, and they put Megan Cannon in. And Cannon, I thought, did a decent job. You could see the nerves of freshmen coming in and to set. Setting is the most important position in volleyball, I'd argue, because you know, for lack of a better term,
you
set up the play. You are hypothetically the quarterback of the volleyball court. She came in and was nervous. She did all right. She didn't do great, but I don't think she did bad either. Against LIU Brooklyn, they started doing a 2-setter formation, which means that you leave the setter in the back row, and so when they would move up for rotation, you'd always have 3 hitters up front. it gives yourself a bit more option, but it leaves you defensively kind of lackluster, because if they hit the ball to the setter in the back row, then that means that another person has to come up and set it, which is usually the libero. But, you know, just looking at the normal stats, the statistics show that they've been better with it. They beat LAU Brooklyn. They beat St. Francis 3 sets. I'd like to see if they're going to do that again this weekend, if they go to Brown and Cannon in a 2-setter formation.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is if this is a formation that Robert Morris is comfortable with and they found success in, and considering the fact that, again, this team is so freshman and sophomore heavy, with fewer new players coming in next year, I think the belief has to be is, look, we found a formation we're comfortable in. We found something that works. Potentially coming out of the gate sooner and being more successful. And I say that with the caveat that they did start off this year successful and looking good.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went away. But again, there's 2 seasons in the NEC, and it's the non-conference is in a sense sort of a preseason, because no matter what you do there, that's not going to earn you some sort of NCAA tournament berth, not in the NEC. So then you get to Northeast Conference play, and that's the regular season, you know, for lack of a better word. And I think that's where, you know, that's where, like, this formation needs to be successful. You need to be able to go in and say, hey, it's not just because it was successful in non-conference doesn't mean it's going to be successful in conference. And that goes for a lot of sports, and in general, whatever conference you play in, the style of play is unique to those conferences. And clearly what Robert Morris was doing in non-conference was a style of play that wasn't working against teams within their own conference. And it stinks, because if you think about it, if they had operated potentially the other way, where this, you know, this new formation, they did it in non-conference and it didn't work, but then you stick with it into conference play, you're seeing potentially an opposite result.
Yeah.
Where, and that stinks, because it could be the same overall record, but you got to win the games in conference.
And winning the games in conference, they were not able to. Highest that they can finish this year, if they win both of their conference games, is 6-8 on the year, which, like you said, would be fifth place is the highest that they need win, or they could be, but St. Francis Brooklyn plays a couple games this weekend as well. They take on Central Connecticut and Bryant. Both those teams are in, but they're still fighting for position, so, or at least Central Connecticut is. So you never know with that. And so we'll just look ahead real quick here for Robert Morris. Like we said before, they take on Fairleigh Dickinson. That's an FDU team that struggles, and it's been rough year for them too, and we've seen consistently a rough year for them, and it's tough, but Robert Morris should handle business right there, I think. But you never,
I hope
we've
so.
We've been talking about this for weeks, though. I mean,
and again, to me, it's just the energy. Whether are they in it or they not, is Dale Starr maybe going to take these last 2 games and be like, hey, let's try something different? Because again, not to reference football again, but Robert Morris football against Sacred Heart, Robert Morris is effectively eliminated from the playoffs. Yeah. They're playing the number one team in the conference. And you saw every single quarterback for Robert Morris get snaps. You saw neither of the star running backs, Stevens or Jackson, get any playing time. It was a lot of guys that were the future of the team that were getting the playing time. I mean, I think clearly you're going to get seniors in there, like Taylor Lord and Ali Yurkovich. Liz Campbell, some of those players that this is their last time. But then, you know, if you're Dale Starr, you're sitting there and you're going, hey, let's try some new things, especially against a team potentially like FDU that
they have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
That's a big thing too. I mean, they're winless in conference play, but nobody wants to end a year winless in conference play. They're going to do everything they can to get a win.
Exactly. So you're still going to get a really good FDU team, an FDU team that's fighting for a win. And so, yeah, if you're Robert Morris, you have 2 options. You can either go out and say, hey, let's, you know, keep doing what we're doing and work with that. Or, hey, you know, clearly there were some things this year that didn't work the way we wanted them to. I think personally that if, like you said, you know, again, they've been trying this new formation, I would think that they would just stick with it and say, hey, let's, you know, refine this, work on the little things, and really, you know, work to make that happen. But again, I think it's kind of a wait and see thing. What Dale Starr's thinking, what the coaching staff's thinking, what's the big move for this weekend? But yeah, again, no guaranteed wins. And a team like Sacred Heart's playing hard in the sense that they're trying to get that third spot. They're only a game behind Central Connecticut right now.
Yeah.
So if they win out and Central Connecticut loses.
And they have the tiebreaker, too.
And they have the tiebreaker.
They won four sets in both games compared to CCSU's only won three.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you have it right there. So Sacred Heart has a lot to play for. So, you know, again, as disappointing it is for Auburn Morris to not be in the playoffs, you can play spoiler 2 cents because if you're Sacred Heart, man, you do not want to play LIU. Yeah, you're hoping you get to see another team in that championship game and that an upset happens.
And like before, I mean, that's a team that, you know, you either play a Bryant team that you won earlier in the year 3-0, Sacred Heart did, or you take on LIU Brooklyn team that beat you 3-0.
Mm-mm.
Pick your poison.
No good. Man. So, yeah, I mean, that position's huge, and it would be a little, like, mental, you know, moral victory for Robert Morris.
Yeah, definitely.
So, it's the little thing, Spencer, but, you know, it's hard. It's hard to, like, put this year into words, I feel like, because the expectations were so high, but at the same time, the expectations were high for a team that was incredibly young. And I think that's something that there's definitely perspective. There's a lot of new players. You know, volleyball, again, is a sport that sometimes can just come down to a few plays that maybe don't go your way and cost you. And if you look at this season and you look at those fifth set losses, you can kind of see some of those pile up. And so it's hard to – and I don't know if there's – it's literally – I don't think you can blame someone. I think that's the big thing. I don't think you can sit here and go, you know, this is the one thing that went wrong. I think it just feels like in terms of some things clicking, it took a little bit too long for everything to kind of click at the right time.
Definitely. It was that the beginning of the year really just stalled out the Colonials, the beginning of the not or NEC.
The real regular season.
The real regular season. Ironically, they had a very good regular season. So two games left for Robert Morris. They take on Fairleigh Dickinson Friday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at home. A game will be on necfrontrow.com. And then Saturday, November 10th at 5 p.m., they play Sacred Heart, the Pioneers. That game will be on necfrontrow.com as well.
Will you be on the call?
Jake Wright and I will be on the call, and that'll be my last game as well, potentially.
Oh, man.
Hopefully not, but, you know, as of right now, it will be. Again,
you're going to make me cry.
If you want to hire me, let me know.
Johnny, I hardly knew you.
Johnny, I hardly knew you, too.
Well, you know, I'm pretty disappointed that we didn't get enough downloads for me to sing so far.
Our duet was, I mean, we have a chance, as much of a chance as Robert Morris had last week to get into
the playoffs.
But like we mentioned, we need a lot of help. And
so just tell all your friends, tell your grandma, grandpa. They might not even know what songs these are.
You don't even need to, like, you know, just download it. Just tell people to download it, and then
tell people on MySpace.
You don't have
Twitter,
to listen to the whole thing.
Just YouTube, Instagram, Musically, TikTok.
TikTok.
Oh God, oh. TikTok. Do you use TikTok?
I actually have TikTok. I have
he
the
does
app.
Have TikTok.
I don't use it. Use it. I like look it up just to like.
Is
look
it at, like ironically?
Like ironic video, like the trolling videos.
Okay,
I love
okay,
them. They're
cool.
Hilarious.
So yeah. So tell everyone. Maybe we can we sing it on TikTok? That might be the way to do it.
We could. I mean,
that'd be the way to do it. All right, we'll put it on TikTok. We'll plug in TikTok because, you know, every time I go through Snapchat, I just see ads.
See those ads? Oh, they're so bad.
I know.
They're
the
worst ads I've ever seen.
I just like, and like, it's one of those things where like the music plays and it's loud and you just quickly change out of it. You're like, oh man. Like, everyone's like, what are you listening to? And you're like, nothing.
Nothing, just an ad. And real quick, like we've been doing every week here.
Oh, the Houston Checker.
Houston update.
Yo! All right. I'm hoping they get some wins.
Okay.
Give me something good. Give me something exciting.
So how about you predict it here? They played this past weekend, November 2nd. They took on Tulane. Against Tulane. They were at home. And then on November 4th, Sunday, which is weird. They played on Sundays, but that's all right. They took on Memphis. So what are your predictions?
Two losses, I'm telling you right now.
They lost to Tulane 3-0. They got swept by them.
Nice.
And they beat Memphis.
No way!
They beat Memphis.
So that's two wins in 2 weeks,
two
right?
Two wins on the year, and they've got three games. No, wait. They got a lot more games left. They have five games left.
So you're telling me that that's five more potential Houston wins.
That is five more potential Houston. We might have to do, do we have to do another The Dig episode just based on Houston?
That's fine. It'll be a special.
Oh, we will invite the SID for
volleyball. They definitely won't like that.
Interview. They would hate that.
Oh, man. We'll email them, and they'll probably be like,
how's it feel?
Well, thank you so much for the offer, but we're going to have to decline due to the nature of the fact that you want to discuss how bad we've been doing. We'll be like, but like, you got, like, just own it. Own it, man.
It'd be like, how does it feel that you were like 13-1 before Robert Morris and then you like lost 10 games in a row?
Imagine like someone that's really into Houston volleyball. If I was an RMU volleyball fan, and if RMU volleyball went 13-1, I'm saying it right now, I would be in this room cheering, yelling, being like, this is the best Robert Morris team you've ever seen. Unbelievable. And then I'd be crushed. I'd be absolutely crushed.
Just like looking at this record, like, the women's volleyball standings for the American Athletic Conference. You've got like 22-3, 21-6, UCF Cincinnati. It goes down, and then you get under 500. And then right at the bottom, Houston, still 15-13. They're still over 500.
Yeah, I know. And right above them in the standings is Temple, who is 5-20 overall. You are in the same breath as 5-20 Temple. I mean, come on.
We talk about, like, you know, we're so lost with this team. What happened there?
I'm telling you, schedule some tougher non-conference teams. That just,
Don't schedule Robert Morris. Ask Rutgers that same question.
No, man, it's a curse. It's the curse, dude. In the final game of the RMU Invitational every year.
Yeah.
Robert Morris. Actually, it wasn't the final game.
Wait.
Because Purdue Fort Wayne.
They played Purdue Fort Wayne. That wasn't even the final. Yeah, because Houston, that's where they played Duquesne, but I don't remember when they played. I think they played Duquesne before that. So, yeah, no, you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we got 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left. So we'll just do some predictions real quick here.
Yes.
All right. So we'll go over Fairleigh Dickinson versus Robert Morris on Friday. Score?
3-1 Robert Morris. I think they still get it.
3-2 Robert Morris. I'm going to go bold. I'm going to say that this, first off, I don't even know if FDU has won two sets yet in Northeast Conference play this year. That's really sad to say that.
That is really sad.
They have not won two sets in NEC play. They've only won one a couple times. So this, if my prediction is correct, this will be the first two win set for them. So congratulations to them if that's the case. Hopefully Robert Morris cruises. And then Saturday, November 10th, Sacred Heart. What do you got?
Okay. Robert Morris will win in five sets. They're going to end on a four-game winning streak.
Lose in four.
Drop the mic. I believe.
Lose in four. Sacred Heart's going to win that one. And I think that game is going to be the difference for Sacred Heart to make the three seed.
Okay.
Instead of the four seed.
Okay.
So which will be nice. You know, we'd love to. I'm rooting for whoever Sacred Heart is rooting for because of the fact that I just don't want it to be like a hypothetically meaningless game. Like, no places like moving, nobody's doing anything different.
Yeah.
So, final 30 seconds. It's been a good one. Episode 6 here on The Dig for Sam Anthony and Spencer Witt. I'm Spencer Witt saying so long and thank you for tuning in to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. This isn't even Phil Collins. I lost respect for you.
It's the only one I could find on short notice. Don't blame me. Blame Spotify.